Welcome to Pitch Deck Series 5, where we'll be having bite-sized conversations with established investors in early-stage startups. Looking to provide you with great nuggets of information when raising or considering raising seed capital. Pitch Deck is supported by Trumpet. If you work in sales or marketing and are tired of spending hours a week creating sales decks, then Trumpet is for you. Design personalized, interactive, and trackable mini sites in a few clicks. Stand out from the crowd whilst also giving your customers a seamless experience from pitch to onboarding. To find out more, visit www.sendtrumpet.com. That's sendtrumpet.com. And join the best in brass. I'm super, super excited to welcome Deepali Nangia to the Pitch Studio today, who is a seasoned angel investor with over a decade of experience in private equity, investment banking, and corporate operational roles. She's a partner at Speed Invest, and Deepali also co-founded the brilliant Alma Angels in 2009. Which is an angel community solely supporting female founders. And any female founders out there, I recommend checking Alma Angels out. Deepali, welcome to Pitch Deck.
Thank you, Nick, for having me. And happy Friday.
Happy Friday. And I'm thrilled to have you here with your wealth of experience. So let's just dive straight into it. So you're a real, real champion for female founders. And is that for you across any type of vertical, or are you particularly interested in particular verticals?
Yeah, so I'm a champion for female founders, no matter what vertical, but obviously I probably know certain verticals better than others. So I'm not sure I'm that great at B2B SaaS. Having said that, I still meet founders in SaaS because I'm learning about it. You know, something about investing, as you probably know, is you never know as much as the entrepreneur, and through each company that you meet, it's a learning journey, which also makes it exciting for us as investors. But I have a keen interest in companies that are solving for society's large problems. So I love health. I love women's health, which is under-researched and under-innovated for many years. I love climate, sustainability. I love alternative food. So basically, companies that are solving for large problems. I'm less of a consumer investor.
Yeah, makes total sense. And you mentioned about, yeah, the entrepreneur sort of teaching us, the investors, which is totally true. Out of interest, when you get a deck or a pitch in a particular space, how much do you take the founder's word of what they put in the deck, and how much do you go and do your own digging?
Yeah, so if it's something I'm interested in investing in, obviously I'm going to do a fair amount of digging. The founder obviously has done their own work, and it's about getting to that point where you have reached a conclusion that you feel the same way as the founder does, right? So I do a fair amount of digging. I talk to people in Alma, obviously, because there's a lot of expertise in there. I talk to, you know, where Speed Invest is concerned, we're a very deep sector focused fund. We have, you know, different sectors from deep tech to consumer, marketplaces, digital health. And we have, you know, people on those teams looking at those particular sectors day in and day out. So there's a lot of expertise in-house. So obviously, we work quite collaboratively together. And I also talk to people outside of these networks. So I might, you know, if it's a bio deal, I might talk to pharma companies, you know, to validate. I might talk to later stage funds to see whether this is something, because you want these companies to be able to raise follow-on capital. So, you know, I talk to lots of people to really validate that investment thesis that the founder has come up with.
And I'm super interested in the different perspective between angel investor and VC, which comes up a lot with founders that I speak to. So I'm interested to understand, do you look at a deck and the need for it to be huge totally differently as an angel investor versus Speed Invest, which is obviously one of the most well-known VCs?
Yes, I think that size thing is obviously a bigger criteria for VCs than it is for angels. You know, when I invested in Pension B, I think it went public at maybe 350 million exit. So that was the IPO valuation. Of course, I'm still in the stock, but, you know, I invested at a 20 million valuation, right? So for me as an angel, I think it's a fantastic return. I think most VCs are looking you know, for that really large outcome. It depends on the size of the fund and the multiples that they have to return to their own LPs. That's what really drives it.
And obviously early stage, you know, it's a bit finger in the air when you're sort of forecasting forward. Do you recommend founders having different decks, one for a VC and one for an angel, one maybe showing a more realistic path to say 50 to 100 million and one showing a path to a unicorn?
To be honest, I am not a big believer in that. I really think you need to be authentic. And if you want to build a really big company, it comes across in the vision of the founder. So I think it has less to do with the deck, but with the individual and the market opportunity. There are lots of businesses that are not going to get to that big size, most of the businesses we look at, right? But I think that for me, whether it's an angel or a VC that you're talking to, you need to be authentic, right? And if you're not going for that big vision, then don't be talking to the VCs, or talk to VCs that are slightly smaller and therefore they don't have the same return criteria as the larger VCs. But you should have the same pitch for whether it's an angel or whether it's a VC. It's just that you have to pick the right VC.
Yeah, I think that's perfect advice for anyone listening. Do your research on who you're pitching to, for sure. And what do you, you know, what really gets you excited when you're looking at a deck or a pitch? Is it, you know, tailwinds in an industry? Is it the team? Is it the vision? Is it all of the above? You know, what really makes you think, yeah, okay, this could be something great?
I mean, the first thing we're investing at the early stages is the people, right? So the team is the most important thing. In, you know, at the background of the team, why are they the best people in the world to build a business like this? How is there what we call founder market fit? What would this team be doing if they, what would these people be doing if they weren't building these businesses? How resilient are they? I mean, I met a team recently and they had been going at a business idea for like 4 years with very little income. And now the market has turned given COVID. And now, you know, they're seeing great product market fit. But the fact that they were going at it for 4 years means that the team is really resilient, because it's really hard to keep going, right? And something that you're not, where you're getting little traction. So first of all, I would say it's people and their backgrounds. And usually I know that really in the first call, when I'm really excited, when I hang up and I'm like, this is the person who should build this business for ABC reason. And then obviously the market needs to be huge from a VC perspective. So we are looking for those really big cases, you know, $100 million, how is this company going to get to the $100 million revenue case, for example. And then, you know, I look at lots of other things. Competition, who else is trying to do this? Are there larger companies who are already playing in the space? And market sizing is really hard, right? Because for real frontier tech, it's very hard to say what is the real market size going to be for a business like this, because it's so brand new. Which is why I keep going back to, you know, the people are the most important, because the business idea might pivot, but good people will make sure that that pivot happens quickly without wasting too much money. They're iterating fast, they're learning fast. And so it really boils down a lot to the people.
Yeah. You mentioned competitors. Again, this is something that often comes up in pitch conversations. How much onus do you put on, you know, let's say the competitor slide or the competitor set when you're speaking to a founder? And is it a case of big competition puts you off, or can you find a niche where the big competition aren't looking? What cements a business to you as a possible opportunity when looking at the competitor set?
I mean, obviously in certain sectors like retail, like if you come up and tell me that I'm building a new makeup brand, I'm going to say I'm not really sure it's interesting. Not that I do much retail, but, you know, competition is very relevant there, because there's so many makeup brands out there already. And what is going to make you difference, and what is your defensibility, and, you know, why is an Estee Lauder not going to be able to do what you're doing? They have so much more money, right? So having said that, an Estee Lauder might not be quick enough or fast enough to be, you know, build that vegan makeup brand that you might be better at doing because of your background and experience where you came from, and you spent several years at a cosmetic company building an internal business for them, right? So I think it's very, I guess it depends from case to case. But of course, if there are big, well-capitalized competitors in a sector, then you're less likely, because it's just harder. It's just harder as a startup.
when you look at a deck for the first time, whether it's through Speedinvest or Alma or lands directly to you, roughly how long do you think you spend on that first flick through a deck? And what do you think is too long?
I think a deck should be like 10 or 11 slides, not more than that. I would probably spend 5 or 6 minutes on it. There are certain decks I can look at very quickly because I know the sector. So I very quickly know, yes, this is a team I want to meet. The first page I go to is the team slide. And it's a bit annoying when they're only pictures and no background on what the team has done in the past, because I would very much like to know, because it's less likely that I would go onto LinkedIn and check unless I'm really interested in the market. You know, because I just don't have that much time. But when it comes to female founders, I do and try and meet as many as possible, whether or not it is for me or not, because I feel I want to be able to help them, whether or not it's an investment for me. But in general terms, I think the pitch deck should be 10, 11 slides. You can always have a longer pitch deck for a second look when you dig into due diligence. Team slide is very important. And then obviously I look at the others. And also, I think it's helpful to get a blurb in the email which says, you know, this is a brief description of our business, whether it's 3 or 4 lines, this is the problem I'm solving for, this is my raise, and this is my timeline.
That's a great point. What do you think about personalization? Like, every outreach should be personalized to the angel or the VC, right?
Absolutely. I've had lots of people reach out to me with the wrong names, by the way. So, like... And they've done very little research on what I like to invest in. And I know it's hard, you know, because it's very hard to be on the other side. Fundraising is not easy for the entrepreneurs, right? So, but I just think the odds are much higher. I think in 2020, I met a founder. She reached out to me on LinkedIn. This is actually my favorite story. And she said, "Hi, Dipali." And in fact, I went to look for it recently. And she said, "I know you like investing in the sector, and I've done some research on your background, and I would love to have a chance to talk." And then I picked up with her on email, and then I ended up investing in her in 2020, in 2021, and now she's doing like her seed raise. And I love telling this story to all the funds who reach out to me about her.
Brilliant. Love that. What puts you off? So apart from it not fitting your criteria, when you're looking at a deck for the first time, what makes you think, not sure about this?
Obviously, like I said, I want the founder slide to be comprehensive, because at the end of the day, we are people investing in people. So you're giving your money to somebody. So I think it's very important to understand who the team is. And then generalizations around this is how large the market is. Everything is not your serviceable addressable market. So it would be good to understand if founders have dug in slightly deeper to really understand what the market size might be. Again, market size is so arbitrary, I guess, in the beginning, but I like to see some estimation, because at least some thought has gone into it, right? And less interested in pretty boilerplate. I remember seeing slides a few years ago which were like, "Oh, I'm raising 150k because that's the SCIS," but really not thinking about how much capital you really need as a business. I just feel like just some thought that has gone into your go-to-market strategy. And not everything is in the slide deck, right? But again, I'm not here to judge, because I think it's very hard to be on the other side. And my job here is to give that feedback to the founder, but not really judge them. Of course, it might not be right. They might not be ready for investment, but I'm here to help rather than judge.
Yeah, I love that. And I love what you said about people investing in people. I always say that yeah, investors are just people as well. Not to be feared, not to be revered, just...
Exactly. In fact, we are learning from the founders.
Exactly. And and fundraising is selling, essentially. You're selling yourself and selling your company to another person. So you need to have that selling aspect to it. So yeah, I absolutely love that. Final question from me. What you mentioned all the different verticals that you're interested in, female founders, of course. What sort of vertical, let's say, has you most excited for the future?
Very interesting, because obviously I love climate. So looking at the intersection of fintech and climate is interesting. Fintech is very interesting. I've been looking at India a lot for Speedinvest, and that India is very close to my heart. And the Indian fintech market is super interesting, because you can build a large fintech company and still be financial inclusion in many ways, because of the way the market is, which I really like. So you can be doing good while making money, And, you know, other than that, I like alternative protein. I like health a lot. I would say health is one of my favorite verticals, always.
Nice. Perfect. Lovely way to end it. Thoroughly enjoyed having you on the show today. Thank you for your great insights.
Thank you, Nick, for having me.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. And if you enjoyed it, I'd hugely appreciate it if you can share it on socials or indeed just with your network. If you're feeling extra generous, I'd absolutely love it if you could leave us a review on Spotify, the Play Store, or iTunes. That is the only way we get more listeners, so thanks for that. And just to remind you that Pitch Deck is sponsored by Trumpet. So go check out www.sendtrumpet.com.